RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews Gold, now playing in area theaters.
If a film offers up gold as its centerpiece, audiences are conditioned to conjure up Treasure of the Sierra Madre paranoia. Stephen Gagan's Gold bypasses the paranoid feelings that someone is going to steal your nuggets and points fingers at the Wall Street sharks who will swoop down and snatch it from you. The market chiefs may not even have to fight too hard to get their slice, because the men who stumbled upon and are offering stakes in the gold mine are more Wolf of Wall Street penny stock hucksters than down-to-earth prospectors. Relying too heavily on the familiar plot sine wave of started from the bottom to made it to the top of the world to back down on the street again, ebb and flow, Gagan's Gold drags under too much plot and an anti-hero the audience couldn't care less about. Kenny Wells, played by Matthew McConaughey, is a bottom-barrel mining prospector operating out of a bar during the day to keep overhead costs down. Feeling pretty good in 1981 when we first meet him, Wells dazzles his girlfriend Kay, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, about how he is the money man who arrives with money and contracts whenever an on-the-nose geologist scores a find. Low-level commodities are all well and good, but gold, that gets everyone's attention. Whether or not it was a commodity, recession, or sheer ineptitude, the next time we meet Kenny in 1988, he's gained massive weight, covers his bald head with the world's most unconvincing comb-over, and he's stealing his wife's jewelry for one last golden Hail Mary. Michael Acosta, played by Edgar Ramirez, is a has-been mineral finder bumming around Indonesia, just the kind of down-on-his-luck, remembers-the-good-old-days kind of guy Kenny is looking for. The two trek into Indonesia's backcountry through a couple of long shots to show us how off the beaten path they are, and start digging holes. Kenny misses most of the discovery period, suffering through a malarial haze, but Acosta is right there with the good news when he pulls out of it. They've got a gold mine. Kenny, who spends an awful lot of time hanging out in his tidy-whities, jumps straight into Acosta's arms as they are already mentally spending the money before the first check comes in. Around this time, Kenny switches into voiceover mode, as if he's talking to a therapist about what it feels like to hit gold, and how suddenly his name was on everyone's lips, the same lips he couldn't get a return phone call from just a few weeks ago. Kenny was already talking to us through voiceover earlier, but who he turns out to be talking to is one of the film's surprises. Granted, given the conventional story arc and how we all know his hubris and alcoholism will lead to a crushing downfall, even if we don't already know the based-on-a-true-story facts, the recipient of the voiceover is no shock at all. The therapist, feeling, smells so strong because Kenny believes in his dreams. On a particularly drunken night, he dreams about Indonesia, which is why he digs up Acosta. When Kenny yells at bankers and lawyers, he accuses them of trying to steal from him. He refers to himself as a man who follows his dreams, no matter where they lead. He repeatedly holds up his hands as tools which have dug in the dirt, whose fingernails have dirt underneath them, and mocks corporate board members who have never left the conference table to toil in the soil. The let's prove him wrong motivation Kenny stirs up with Acosta results from dreams, but the whole enterprise is far too predictable and plastic for audiences who have seen all of this trial and error business before. Tucked away in all of this is Kay, Kenny's wife. She loved Kenny when he was fat and drunk with no prospects. Now that there are billions to be made, Kay is suspicious of the fancy suits and fake boobs orbiting Kenny, who does not have the faculties to realize Kay is his bedrock, not the starry-eyed leeches. Kenny confuses Kay's loyalty and happiness with her old life as backwoods ignorance. Once again, we circle back to shades of the Wolf of Wall Street. DiCaprio's Jordan Belfort threw over his loyal first wife, too. The repetitive montages Gagan keeps throwing in, showing the thrill of pulling ore out of the ground and flying in helicopters to Wall Street meetings, are so obvious they are more to be endured than enjoyed. Gold is an odd film for Stephen Gagan to make. We expect a much sharper product from the man who wrote Traffic and directed Syriana. Co-writers Patrick Massett and John Zinman, who have Laura Croft Tomb Raider and some Friday Night Lights TV episodes to their names, lead us on a languid paint-by-numbers adventure we can predict a mile away. McConaughey delivers another high-caliber performance which outshines the material by an order of magnitude. It's shocking to see him with a bulging gut and terrible teeth after seeing his ribs in Dallas Buyers Club. Gold has the feeling that the Weinstein Company thought it was award-worthy on paper, hence the Gagin and McConaughey hirings. But you can tell they think the same things the audience does about predictability and boredom, since they're sneaking it out to theaters in late January doldrums. That is why I give Gold 2 out of 4 stars.
Gold is now playing at Regal Park Place Stadium 16 and RPX, AMC Sundial 20, and Cobb Countryside 12 Cinemas. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit charliejewell.com.